Will you turn with me to Psalm 2? Psalm chapter 2, or Psalms 2. We'll read. Why do the nations rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder, cast away their cords from us. He who sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his short great displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the othermost part of the earth for your possession. Then shalt thou break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, rejoice, and trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they who put their trust in him. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that we have this privilege, gathering together, fellowshipping together, and as your word is read and presented to us. We thank you for this great opportunity. We thank you for the ministry of your Spirit. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will prepare our hearts for the things that you have for us today. Above all, we pray that the Lord Jesus Christ will be glorified and that our hearts might move within us to thank you for the great and wonderful things we have in Christ and his redemptive work at Calvary. We pray that our souls might be so turned to him that the longings of our heart will be to please him and to know him. We thank you for the hope that is ours in the Lord Jesus, for the peace, for the happiness, and the joy. And if perchance, Father, there is one among us who has never trusted in the Lord Jesus as their Savior, we pray that you might move in their heart today and that they might trust in the Lord as their Savior. For others who are going through difficult times, we pray your hand of blessing, that they might seek your wisdom. For those that are laid aside with ailment, we do pray that you'll be with them. For our dear brother who is having problems with his hip, we pray, Lord, that there will be a soon solution. We realize the pain that he's in, and so we just pray your hand of blessing on him. For others also, for the Duckhorns, we pray your hand of peace. And now again, Father, we pray that you will bless as we look into your word and consider that which you have for us today, as we pray in the Lord Jesus' name, amen. We had been considering a theme at the retreat that we titled The Conflict of the Ages, Satan's Attempt to Destroy the Seed of the Woman, personally, individually, the coming Messiah, then the seed of the woman, the nation of Israel, and we considered that as the death of Christ took place, that Satan now is going to regroup. And we're going to talk about that today. We've read from Psalm chapter 2. You can't help but, as you read that psalm, realize the significance in regards to its prophetic value. And we'll be speaking a little bit about that, but you can't help but see that. I have set my king upon the hill. The nations rage against the Lord. Unusual days in which we're living. Really unusual. You've been reading from the book of Revelation. We'll make some references to that this morning. And as you're reading, I'm sure many thoughts are in your mind. Now, let me just state a few things that we're aware of. First of all, before the world, before history moves into those final days, as they're outlined for us in the book of Revelation, Israel had to be in the land. They are there now. They are there. We're also aware of the fact that there will be a temple in Jerusalem, the old city. Maybe, as that time begins, it'll be under construction, but we know it's going to be there. We know that because we're told that the man of sin will sit in the temple of God claiming to be God. And then we're told throughout the scriptures, in regards to prophecy, Daniel emphasizes it, Ezekiel speaks about it, book of Revelation continues to bring in great details. Nations of the world will be set for end time events. And the scriptures have told us that there will be great powers of the north. Ezekiel says, to the uttermost part of the north. Great powers. Excuse me, you can't go much further north from Israel than the great land of Russia. Uttermost part of the north. Kings of the west. Powerful king. A king who has great military might behind him. Who might that be? This action that we see is going to take place in Europe. Could it be some kind of alliance with those powers, with the United States? Maybe. Then the great powers and kings of the South, Egypt, the Arab world, Africa. And then, of course, the great kings of the East, the Orient, India, my. And I think about it today. Wow. I can't help but say, wow. I'm not about to predict anything, but let me tell you, the stage is set. We have been taught that in the final days, the powers under the rule of this king that's coming, they're going to be a revival of nations that once ruled the lands that Rome once held. Well, it's not hard to realize that's taking place today also. Wow. As I sat and listened closely to leaders of nations speaking, I heard Premier of Israel say, we need a world leader that can bring peace. I thought, what did he say? And he said it again. You may have heard him. He said it again. Israel, and he enlarged it, the world is looking for a leader that can bring peace. I remember reading an article by Arnold Schlesinger, and it said, the decline of greatness. Where are our great leaders? You know, I think Satan has a master plan. We're going to go into that in just a moment. He is preparing such a man. He's preparing such a man. Thank God for the work of evangelism that is taking place by the church, the people of God in this day, around the world. Around the world. Thank God for what is happening, not only here in America, but all over the world. Tribes, people, languages, the gospel is going forth. Thank God for that. and people are crying out, peace, peace, peace. Oh, if you've been watching television, right before our eyes, one Arab leader after another saying, there must be peace in Israel. There must be peace in Palestine. We must have peace. Peace, peace, peace. And we're fighting. And there's warfare. We've learned another thing. Air might, air power is not sufficient. There must be ground troops. Wow. Must be ground troops in a final conflict. There are many things I'm sure that you could add to that. Many things. There's two things I've mentioned. Israel must be in the land. And I mentioned the evangelism that is taking place today by the people of God, the saints, those who've been redeemed through the precious blood of Christ around the world. I have mentioned that I do not know what place America will play in the time of the end. I've been asked that question many times. And I state two things. One is this. As long as Israel is going to be a major power in the Mideast, America, it appears, must be in existence. For we are the catalyst that keep them there. Even though they might insult us, we are still behind Israel. We keep them there. And then in regards to the World Mission Program, over 90% of the missionary dollars come from America. And as long as God has a plan for evangelism, and He does, He is calling out from among the nations a people for His name, as long as that continues on, it appears that America will be on the scene. So what am I suggesting? I am suggesting that America will play a role in future events. I don't know what they'll be, but I do think that we are taught that. Well, the Lord Jesus died on the cross at Calvary. He was buried. Satan seemed to be victorious at the tomb. Jesus had literally, really died. The centurion confirmed that. He's dead. We do not need to break his bones. He is dead. He was taken from the cross and he was put into a tomb. The Pharisees said, this man stated that he would, after 3 days, rise from the dead. Let's make sure it's sealed. So this tomb is sealed, and the soldiers guard the tomb. And Satan appears to have been victorious. He appears to have been victorious. But the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. And as he rose from the dead, he has given ample proof, as God raised his son from the dead, that the work on the cross was a work appointed by God. It was completed. The redemption of mankind had taken place for those who would believe. And there at the cross, Satan realizes his powers are annulled. Only in the sovereign plan of God can he move forward. Now there on the cross, the Lord Jesus, of course, died this substitutionary death for each one of us. And I'd like to say to you, each one this morning, that if you have never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, I want to encourage you to seriously consider your indecision. I want you to consider this very fact that you may not have a lot of time left. Do you understand that? You may not have a future that you're going to be able to say, I'll do it later. No, that may never happen. I'd like to encourage you now to acknowledge the fact that you are a sinner and that the Lord Jesus Christ died for you, and your only hope of being with the Lord in the glories is by an act of faith on your part as you believe the Lord Jesus Christ died for you, that he was buried, and that he's coming again, risen and coming again. Oh, I want to warn you. I want to plead with you. Without haste, make that decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. For us who are believers, I want to warn us also. If there are things in our life that we ought to be dealing with, we better deal with them. If there are things that are displeasing to the Lord, we had better diligently listen to the Spirit of God and get these things right. In the morning meeting, we had some exhortations in regards to holiness. That's what God expects of us. That's what we ought to be doing. Well, Satan, this one who is in this conflict to destroy the works of God, the man of God, the people of God, trying to establish his own supremacy to rule over the world, which he's going to attempt to do through his man, he has not given up. He still wants to rule as king. That which he has stated and is recorded for us in the Word of God is still true. He has said, I will be like the Most High. I will usurp the authority of God. I will rule. I will have supremacy. And he still has that. He also has plans. And he also is preparing a man. He is getting ready for one more desperate struggle before the Lord Jesus Christ comes to reign and rule as king on this earth for 1,000 years. And as we continue to move in history and some of the things we have mentioned, that conflict, battle, may not be too far in the future. Why do the nations rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves together. The rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast away their cords from us. In the book of Acts chapter 4, verses 25 through 28, as Peter is speaking, he is saying, the events that you have seen through the crucifixion of Christ and the anger against him, they have fulfilled these three verses. At least there's a partial fulfillment. And he has given credibility to this passage that it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks of the great celebration at the coronation of the setting up of the king, God's son, on Mount Zion. Now, I have said that Satan is not finished. Satan is continuing to work. I'd like for us to read a few verses from the book of Revelation. Will you turn with me, first of all, to the 16th chapter of the book of Revelation? And I'm reading at verse 13. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon and out of the mouth of the beast and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons working miracles that go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garment, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And he gathered them together in a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon. We have read a passage of Scripture that is going to be fulfilled in time. It is going to be fulfilled. When Satan, through the instrument of men, will gather the nations of the world together to battle. And as they come together in their great hordes of armies, millions, their hatred toward one another, their hatred will then turn against Israel and the God of heavens, and they shall blaspheme the Lord, and they shall challenge the Lamb, and they shall array in battle with their leader before them, this one who's coming, and they will assume that they're going to be victorious. Now, I don't know if Satan understands prophecy or not. I don't know. But one thing I do know, he doesn't believe it. And he is absolutely convinced that he is going to defeat God, defeat the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he will reign. But God has other plans, of course. God has other plans. That moment is the moment of Satan's. It's the supreme moment for Satan. The nations of the world moving together, following a man who is Satan's masterpiece, and now he is ready for this conflict. But let's go back just a moment. Let's go back just a moment. In the book of 2 Thessalonians, in chapter 2, we are introduced in the writings of Paul to this one who is called the man of sin, the son of perdition, the lawless one, the wicked one. This one who will oppose and exalt himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he shall sit in the temple of God, claiming that he is God. We get another description of him in the book of Revelation chapter 13. And then another in Revelation chapter 17, verses 17 through 13. And in those verses we are told in verse 14, he shall make war against the Lamb. Daniel also speaks about this coming one. And Daniel tells us when that time is going to be. Now, when I say when, I'm not talking about a date. But he's telling us when to expect it. He gives forth his great prophecies of the 70 units of seven. And in those great prophecies, he says, after 69 years of that prophecy, 480 years, the Messiah will be acknowledged. And then he goes on to say, but the Messiah will be cut off. Speaking about the death of the Messiah. And then in those verses, Daniel says this, and the people of the prince that shall come in the sanctuary thereof and the walls, even in troublous times. He goes on to say, this coming prince, and he shall confirm the covenant with the many for a 7-year period of time. In the midst of that 7 years, having made a covenant with Israel and bringing peace to the land temporarily, in the midst, he shall break that covenant. He shall set himself up as God. He shall demand worship, and he shall turn in his anger and his wrath against the nation of Israel. Now, when is that going to begin? When is this conflict going to take place? In the second chapter of the book of Thessalonians, such an important chapter, and we're just going to have to mention these things. In the second chapter, in verses 6 and 7, we read this. And now you know what restraineth that he might be revealed in this time. Now you know what's holding back the manifestation of the man of sin, son of perdition, that one that we call the Antichrist. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now hinders will continue to hinder until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked one be revealed. When will it begin? When will it take place? When that one who is hindering, who is holding back, that one who has the power to keep Satan at bay, that one who is active in the world, none other than the Holy Spirit, who's indwelling the believers, when he's removed, well, what's going to happen when he removes? All of us who are alive, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, will be taken with him. He indwells us. And every believer alive in the world will be taken up at a moment as the Spirit of God leads, for we are told, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and he will gather together his church, first the living, and then the bodies of those who have died since the day of Pentecost. Their bodies will come out of the grave, united with that spirit was with the Lord, meet the Lord in the air. And we will forever be with the Lord. The Spirit of God has left from indwelling. He will surely be working in the tribulation period in regards to the salvation of souls. No one will be saved apart from his ministry, but we'll be taken away to be with the Lord forever. We call that the rapture. We speak about that period of time that's going to happen. No signs for that. Plenty of signs for that second event when Christ comes to reign as king. And those signs are apparently among us today. When that takes place, then the wicked one will be revealed. There's some discussion, I must admit, in regards to whether that rapture will take place at the beginning of that 7-year period, at the midpoint, or at the end of that 7-year period. A lot of discussion about wrath. You know, God's wrath doesn't begin until way late, and that's what we're going to be protected from. There's a great promise in the first chapter of 1 Thessalonians when we are told this. And this is worthy of note. For they themselves, verse 9, for they themselves show of us of what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned from God, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, who he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who is the deliverer from the coming wrath, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Now, as Paul is speaking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Thessalonians, he is either speaking about this event that we call the rapture, or he is speaking about the event when Christ comes as king to set up his kingdom. And when he is speaking here, delivering us from the coming wrath, he is not speaking here in regards to eternal judgments. He is not speaking of that wrath that's going to take place that'll cast men into perdition. He is speaking about a wrath coming upon the earth. And let me assure you, that wrath begins the very first day of that 7-year period. In the sixth seal that is opened, and as many, many things are taking place, people cry out, "Oh, that the rocks would fall on us, that it would deliver us from the wrath of the Lamb." What are they saying? They are saying, hey, what's happening is wrath. It has already started with the rider on the white horse, and then on the next horse, and on the next horse, and the pestilence, and the hunger, and the death. It's already started. Deliver us from that. And then in the 11th chapter, in verse 18, regards to the seventh trumpets, they too say, his wrath has come. His wrath has come. They have experienced the trumpets. And again, the acknowledgement is all through the whole thing. And so we're advocating very strongly that that day that we're talking about, when Satan's masterpiece will come on the scene, it will take place after the church of God is raptured away. Now to my dear brethren, who may be of a different opinion and are concerned that it's 3.5 years or post. You know, we're all in the same camp. But however, on the way up, I'm going to say, I told you so. I told you so. I told you so. And so, the world will come under great instability. The world will continue at that period of time to be prepared for a supreme dictator to rule or attempt to rule in the world. Satan's attempt through human instruments to become that ruler. His masterpiece. Oh, he's going to appear to have such great charisma. He will appear to have answers one after another. But he will destroy by might and by power and by the authority and power of Satan. He will get things done. And he, through fear, will unite those behind him with a mark. I have no idea what that's going to be. Oh, I can suggest a lot of things, but I don't know. And not be able to buy, do commerce, hardly anything without that mark. But thank God there will be a people on the earth who won't receive the mark. Thank God there will be a people on the earth who will be a witness for the Lord. And they will be proclaiming the message that Jesus is King. He has died. He has shed his blood. He has been brought forth redemption. But he is King. King of kings and Lord of lords. Now we've been speaking briefly outlining major events that will be taking place. We've been speaking of evil. We've been speaking of what Satan's going to do. But remember, God's doing things also. And during that tribulation period, we are told in chapter 7 that John sees a multitude of people that he cannot even number, of every nation and every tongue. And he says, who are they? And the angelic being says to him, John, you know who they are. And he says, yes, these are the ones who are saved during the tribulation period. Can you imagine that? God's still in the business of saving souls. God's still in the business of saving souls. As long as a person is alive, they have the opportunity to be saved. How many chances? Many chances. Many chances. It was once held by those who are speaking prophecy that anyone who had heard the gospel, that had not trusted Christ, if they would go into the tribulation period, they could not be saved. Any Christ rejectors could not be saved. Isn't it interesting that as the tribulation period begins, we are told that God has sealed 144,000 Jewish people from the 12 tribes of Judah. Those people were Christ rejectors. Alive in this day, who know not Christ. But as soon as the church is taken away, they will become the evangelist of the tribulation period. If you have an opportunity to witness someone, do it. Do it now. For if the rapture is to take place, they'll still have the Word of God and the Spirit of God who can quicken their hearts and bring them to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They might suffer, they might be persecuted, but God is in the soul-saving business, and multitudes will be saved. Read with me Revelation chapter 19. Verse 11. And I saw the heavens open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make wars. His eyes were like the flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies that were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he should rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. And on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know, that thrills my heart. That brings emotion to me. I just want to say, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He is coming. And he will come and he will be established on the earth. King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the armies have been gathered together. Battle has been taking place. But he comes. And we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that with the brightness of his coming he shall destroy and devour the beast, the Antichrist. And with his words he shall take them. Verse 20. The beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, and which had deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. He's lost. The Antichrist has lost. His right-hand man has lost. They have been cast alive into the lake of fire. Chapter 20, verse 2. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should no more deceive the nations, till 1,000 years be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed for a season. And Satan is taken and cast into a bottomless pit, and the Lord Jesus Christ stands supreme, King of kings, Lord of lords. Yes, the conflict isn't over, but let me assure you, the victory is the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God for the hope that is ours, that we have been exhorted by Paul when he says, listen, brethren, don't get all shook up, rattled in your mind, as that the day of Christ is at hand. It hasn't come yet. Don't worry about it. In the 4th chapter of 1 Corinthians, he said, I want to give you words of comfort. I want you to know that there's a day coming that you can have hope in and that you can trust in and that you can rejoice in when the Lord is going to take us out of this scene. Rejoice, he says. You're going to be with the Lord forever. Forever. My, how wonderful. And so there's hope for us. How much time? I'm not even going to attempt to predict it. Do I think it's near? Yes. If not in my lifetime, I believe it will be in the lifetime of my children. But my prayer is, even so come, Lord Jesus. Shall we close in prayer? Heavenly Father, as we bow before you in prayer, we ask that your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will take of the truths that you have in your word that we have read and apply them to our minds and to our hearts. And I acknowledge I am but a man, so subject to error, failure. I pray, Father, for those things that have been said, wherein there may be some improvement. We pray there will be much improvement. We pray that you will speak to our hearts, but that the main points might be very clear to all of us this morning. Jesus is coming again. Satan is not finished. And as he anticipates the future, the time of the great tribulation, he will also seek to be working havoc in the church of God, destroying the very principles and institutions that you have set up. Marriage, relationship of parents to children and children to parents, rebellion against authority, rebellion against the authority of those in charge in the church of God, the elders, leaders. My Lord, we need your help. And so we pray that you might help us to be aware of his devices. Help us to be aware of the fact that there is a time coming when the very things that we have been speaking about will surely come to pass. And that we might be diligent to set our mind and our attention upon you and upon all that you say to us in your word. We've asked you, Lord, to deal with any who still have not trusted in the Lord Jesus. We pray that they might make that decision of acknowledging the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, he who loves them and gave himself for them. We pray your blessing upon this meeting. We pray that you'll bless the elders. You bless our dear brother and his wife as they labor the duck horns. We ask that you'll give them strength. Give them, Lord, that which only you can give as they continue to work and meet the needs of so many. Bless, we pray. May the work of evangelism go forth. Bless the young people. We pray that you might work in their hearts and challenge them And we just pray, Lord, you'll strengthen them, as there's so many voices, so much pressure, so much that can destroy. Oh God, protect us. Encourage us. Enable us to be a witness for you, Lord, not only in what we say, but in what we do. We do pray you'll be with us now as we go to our homes. We thank you we belong to you. We thank you we've been redeemed through the blood of Christ. We thank you that we can say together, even so come, Lord Jesus. We pray these things in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.